This is the Barbecue Central Radio Show, which is recorded live each Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Barbecue Central Radio Show is being brought to you by The Barbecue Guru, the original creators of automatic temperature control devices, now offering four different models for you to choose from. Rest easy knowing that The Barbecue Guru is controlling your temperature so you can get on with your life. Visit bbqguru.com or call 800-288-GURU for more information. And by Fred's Music and Tasty Licks BBQ Supply, your online barbecue and grilling superstore. From cookers to grills, wood chips and chunks, and everything in between, also be sure to try the Tasty Licks barbecue brand of rubs and sauces. Check Fred out online at tastylicksbbq.com. And by Stephen DeFranco Jewelers. Located in beautiful Willoughby, Ohio, Stephen DeFranco Jewelers is a family-owned and operated business looking to service the great folks of the barbecue and grilling world. Get free shipping and big discounts by mentioning my name and the term Barbecue Brother. Check out their inventory by visiting StephenDeFranco.com. And by Butcher Barbecue, with 30 years of experience in retail, wholesale, meat markets, food service, and customer service. Using that experience, everything they do and sell at Butcher's Barbecue comes from real-world knowledge. Check out their award-winning spices, sauces, marinades, and injections by visiting ButcherBBQ.com. Always trust your butcher. And by Green Mountain Grills. Discover something you'll really, really love. Grilling with pellets. Green Mountain Pellet Grills are the top of the line, best of the best, but not the highest in price. And be sure to check out all of their flavor rubs, sauces, and pellets for the Green Mountain Grill all on their website. Visit greenmountaingrills.com to peruse the entire product's portfolio. And by Barbecuers Delight Wood Pellets. Two-thirds oak, one-third flavor wood, giving you that perfect combination of BTU burn and sweet, succulent smoke you're looking to get all over your meat. A wide variety of flavors, so please go to the website to check it out and get yours today. Barbecuers Delight, which is BBQRSDelight.com.
This is Brian Mayer, host of Hot Sauce Weekly. And you are listening to BCRN, all barbecue and grilling all the time.
Joe B's is only $99 for a big six-month supply with free shipping, and you get a seventh month free. That's less than 50 cents a day for energy and to feel great. Go to joebees.com.
The Barbecue Central Show will air live at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
So to get that perfect barbecue, you use wood. Are you sure it's safe? Whatever. We put the lighter fluid on, strike the match, and... Oh.
Should we call the fire department?
That might be a good idea.
Good evening and welcome to the Really Big Barbecue Central Show. Yes, the show that talks about all things important to the world of barbecue and grilling, broadcasting live and direct from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame city of Cleveland, Ohio, rapidly becoming known as the barbecue capital of the North Coast. I'm your program host, Greg Rempe. Happy to have you aboard here on your Tuesday. A couple of ways to get in touch with the show if you want to do it tonight. Toll-free number, 877-448-0433. You can also email the show if you want to, greg@thebbqcentralshow.com. Everything else you want to know about the show can be found at the website, thebbqcentralshow.com. Here's what's happening on the show tonight. About 13 minutes from now, Tia Abels from Strube Ranch is going to be joining me. And we're going to be talking to her about Strube Ranch, the beef, all that great stuff. A lot of you have heard about Strube Ranch before, so... be sure to stay tuned for that. 35 past the hour, the grill girl herself, Robin Lindars, joins us for her monthly segment. And then moving into the second hour, Mike Peters from the Great American Barbecue Tour and also Here Piggy Piggy competition cooking team is going to be talking about his KCBS Board of Directors run upcoming. And helping me close out the show tonight, John Dawson from Patio Daddio Barbecue. So a jam-packed show. No doubt. We're looking forward to it. So I've been anxiously awaiting this particular Cocktail Time segment for some time now. So without further ado, it's my favorite, it's your favorite. It's the segment sweeping the proverbial nation and globe. It's Cocktail Time. All right, so let's get this camera set up and my wireless microphone set up. All right. Second there, I lost my microphone there. All right, so tonight is a drink that brings me great joy, one that I have been waiting for some time now to do what's called the Ward 4. Except when you're in my house or Euclid Avenue or cities kind of heading west into downtown Cleveland, then it's a Section 8. It's a little play on words. It has nothing to do with 4 and 8 being divisible by each other. Not at all. But here's how you do it. First of all, go out and give yourself a chance to buy at least a case, if not 4 cases of this. It's 3 olives. Very berry brand flavored vodka. Some of you might think that's for girls or it's fruity. It's fruity. There's no doubt about it. However, it's really the most key component of this drink. There's only one, well, two if you count the ice, but there's only one other component of the drink that makes it really the Ward 4 or the Section 8. For tonight's purposes, it'll be Section 8. But we have to give proper homage, respect, and credit to a man who is helping better a city over from us in Wickliffe, Ohio. He is a Ward 4 councilman for what the name of the drink is named after. Ed Levon is the honorary namesake of this drink. So without further ado, let's go ahead and make this drink right from the get-go. First, tall Tervis tumbler. Of course, we love the Tervis tumbler because it's 2 glasses in one. It's got an inner shell. It's got an outer shell. The outer shell helping it from leaving sweat rings on wood. People will shoot you in certain houses if you leave sweat rings on the wood. I don't want that. So load this bad boy up with some ice. Yeah. Now, you know, you recall in a lot of these other drinks, I'm a big ice whore. Love to use a lot of ice. This one I really try and be careful with because I want to maximize my liquor input. And on this drink, it's key. So, here's our 3 olives. Again, not big on the what's the ounce. I say you're safe with anything 60% or below. And I'm going to tell you why that is. A lot of people would freak out if we were using any other liquor aside from berry and vodka here. So let's go ahead. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right. That's probably a little light, but I'm hosting a show for crying out loud, so give me a break. And now we'll go into the refrigerator. And we will fetch our lemonade. Any lemonade can be used, whatever you like. And then you just go ahead and top it off. Boom. We'll return it back to the refrigerator where it stays cold. I say always make 4 quarts because while you think you might not drink as many of these are going to go down like hot cakes in a good way. Not hot, very cool. So we'll take a sip of the Ward 4. It's refreshing. And here's the best part. If there was any like residual liquor flavor that you would get, if you were just to drink this straight, I'm not a big vodka guy by any stretch. You could probably put very berry on ice and drink it straight. The lemonade that you add to this cuts the liquor right out of it. So in layman's terms, you can punch your ticket to Shitfaceville on the express train with this drink. So it's a Ward 4 very berry vodka, Tervis tumbler tall ice lemonade. All it is. All right, let's head back to the console of broadcast excellence here. I'm going to continue to enjoy my Ward 4, of course.
Gotta try, ladies and gentlemen, you gotta try the Ward 4. Absolutely. What do I do with my pen? Damn it. All right, there you go. Ward 4. So good. You're going to be seeing me drinking this all night long, I swear to God.
All right, first and foremost, if you're watching the show right now, blast off an email, as you always do each and every week. Facebook it, Twitter it, whatever you want to do. Let the folks know that the word is out, the show is on. OutdoorCookingChannel.com, that's the place you want to go to get the live video feed. If you're audio only, TheBBQCentralShow.com is the place you can do that. Also, quick reminder, last week and a couple weeks before, I mentioned Roku, which is using your wireless internet connection at home. It's a little device. You can buy them. They start at $50 and go up from there. And you can subscribe to Outdoor Cooking Channel right on Roku. Last week, it was just released, and there were 2,500 subscribers. Breaking news. As of literally 4 hours ago, Kevin Bevington, the creator of Outdoor Cooking Channel and putting this app on Roku, over 17,000 subscribers now. 17,000! You can buy these Roku boxes at Best Buy or Circuit City if you still have one by you, any type of electronics store typically, or you can go to Roku.com, R-O-K-U, Roku.com, and really join what is an absolute fireball of success, which is the Barbecue Central Radio Show on Outdoor Cooking Channel on Roku. We're actually working potentially towards a live stream on Roku as well to pull in the big crowds. So there you go. Congratulations to Kevin and all of the great folks over at Outdoor Cooking Channel, which, of course, is just Kevin Bevan. A quick update. A couple weeks ago, we had Pitmaster of Pellet Envy, Rod Gray, on. And he had mentioned at that point that his wife, Sherry, was going in for kidney transplant surgery on the 15th, and that was today. So an update from the man himself, Rod Gray. Sherry's brother, Carter, who is the one that actually donated the kidney to Sherry, and Sherry both out of surgery. Surgery went very well. Kidney already making urine, which is good. She'll be in recovery for about 2 hours, and then she'll be moved to the transplant unit, where she'll be there for about 4 to 8 days as she recovers, and then they regulate her anti-rejection meds. So fantastic news. Fantastic. All right, tonight's giveaways coming up. You have a chance to win four different items tonight. Brian Corbett of Smoke and Scully's giving away some of their competition sauce. Again, to rave reviews from the guy that got it last week. There's a two-pack of Ribs Within Rubs coming from the creator himself, Doug Keels. You've seen him on Chopped Grill Master Edition, or whatever the hell they called it on the Food Network. But a bottle of Rub for All and a bottle of Wahoo Chicken. So stay tuned for that. A $10 gift card from TheBBQSuperstore.com, thanks to Rich Parker out there. And then one barbecue invitation kit, compliments of Derek, D-E-R-E-K, DerekArt.com, can also be found at MRRetro.com. This is a downloadable file that will be sent to you from the artist himself. So thanks to Derek, and thanks to Stuart Sandler for hooking this giveaway up as well. So those are the prizes that we have going tonight, believe it or not. I'm very excited about it. I hope you are, too. Tia Abels from Strube Ranch coming up here in just a short few seconds. But first, let me quickly tell you about... How's my printer out of paper? About the longest-running sponsor of the show. Let me see if I can do this.
The Barbecue Guru is the maker of automatic pit temperature controls. They are the ones that created this technology. So I'm often baffled by people that say, well, you know, who should I use for automatic pit temperature controls?
Well, why wouldn't you use the people that created this technology? It's beyond my comprehension. I can't tell you why, but people do it. You go over to thebbqguru.com. Check out all of their automatic temperature control devices that they have. A number of them to fit your budget or your level of geekdom, as I like to call it. They have the CyberQ Wi-Fi unit that is really getting rave reviews across the internet. People are making programs to hook up with the CyberQ Wi-Fi unit, like Brian Munter from PitPal last week. Why wouldn't you want to check it out? Everybody's got smartphones and tablets and Wi-Fi connections. CyberQ Wi-Fi just for you, or if you just want an easy entry level into automatic temperature control devices, why not that Party Q? Fully self-contained, you can take it with you. It runs on AA batteries. easily adapts to the bullet-style smokers and kettle grills. With an extra $10 option, you can put on those ceramic-style cookers as well. So you want to check that out. And then, of course, if you're looking for a cooker, the Onyx Oven. Winning on backyards and competition circuits alike for the last number of years, as the awards from the Barbecue Guru would show you, finishing reserve grand at the Jack Daniels a couple years back. It's an absolute fabulous cooker, holds a ridiculous amount of meat, accommodates half and full pans, and of course, any automatic pit temperature control device that the Barbecue Guru makes. So look, head on over to thebbqguru.com. That's thebbqguru.com. And check out exactly what they have. If you have any questions, call them toll-free, 800-288-GURU. That's 800-288-GURU. And let them get you outfitted with exactly what you need to get you right up and running out of the box. 800-288-GURU, thebbqguru.com. The Barbecue Guru, a breakthrough in barbecue technology. I will come back with Tia Abels from Stroob Ranch. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Broadcasting live from the Barbecue Central Radio Network studios in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Radio Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, we are back. 877-448-0433. Greg at thebbqcentralshow.com. Those are the two ways to get in touch with the show. You know, from time to time we talk beef on the show, but rarely do we get in depth. So let's go ahead and change that a bit over the next segment. One of the country's premier producers of beef, Stroob Ranch, knows a little something about this topic. So let's go ahead and race over the hotline and grab Tia Abels from Stroob Ranch. Tia, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely fabulous, Tia. Appreciate you joining me tonight. I guess before we talk about Stroob Ranch and the meats and all that great stuff, maybe a little background about yourself and I guess how you got into the business.
Okay. Well, actually, I am the fourth generation here, so we've been here a while. My little boy's the fifth generation. We've been raising cattle for as long as I can remember, about 15 years ago or so, my dad decided that he wanted to kind of focus more on a prime beef, and that's when we started looking into the Wagyu and got into Wagyu genetics, and it just kind of went from there. So we've been doing it. We've been doing the Wagyu part for about 15 years. Before that, we had Angus and and other breeds. So and we had never marketed our beef directly to the public. So it was a little bit different, and I could say probably about 80% of our business is directly to distributors and meat purveyors and people like that. So it's been different learning to deal with the public.
did you say fourth generation?
Yes, I am. I'm a fourth generation, so we've been here a while, and we're in East Texas, so we raise all of our own cattle. Our cattle, they grade anywhere from 70% to 80% prime. So once we raise the cattle and they're fed, after they're harvested, we market all the box beef. We do all the marketing and everything. And we harvest about 1,500 head a year. So we're not the largest, but we're close. So as far as a Wagyu producer.
Fourth generation, a lot of people before you, a lot of history there. Was there ever a point that you wanted to do something else and kind of break away from the family business, as it were?
Not really. I don't know anything else. I've been born and raised here. I've been born and raised here, and I love it. I can't imagine doing anything else. There's been times, it's kind of, it can be trying when you work with family. So there's been times that I thought, what the hell am I doing? But But we love it, and we're all, I mean, you know, we all live right here on the ranch, and it's fun. You know, it can, that anytime you're involved in agriculture, it can be rough. You know, the weather, there's so many factors, but I enjoy it. I'm raising my son here, and it's just, we couldn't ask for a better life.
T. Abels joining me here on the show from Stroob Ranch. You can visit the website, of course, stroobranch.com, STRUBE, stroobranch.com. You know, I've kind of had this weird, ongoing, growing knowledge of Wagyu beef, and, you know, the first time I recall ever it passing somebody's mouth was from Fast Eddie Morin mentioning it to me in an interview I did like 7 years ago, and it just kind of flew over my head at that point. And then a few years ago, you know, Wagyu really caught the fancy of a lot of folks who were watching Barbecue Pitmasters Season 1. So I guess, you know, if we could back it up just a little bit, for the people that don't know about it, what is Wagyu, what's the classification or specs that it needs to meet in order to have this label placed on it?
Well, you know, Wagyu is basically, you know, people say, oh, what is the difference between Wagyu and what is it in Kobe beef? Are they the same? Are they not the same? You know, Wagyu is basically the breed of cattle that produces Kobe beef. So to be Kobe beef, it has to be born and raised in Kobe, Japan. But, you know, in the United States, we have the same, you know, we have the same cattle, we have the same genetics, but, you know, it's Wagyu here in the United States. So the main difference is that Wagyu cattle, their marbling gene is dominant. So even if they're crossed with another breed of cattle, that marbling gene is dominant. I think the last time I read, about 3% of the cattle in the United States, grade prime of all the cattle that are you know, harvested in the United States. So for, you know, Wagyu producers to be able to say, you know, we grade 60, 70, 80, 90% prime, it's just, you know, it says something. And and when we say prime, you know, that's USDA prime. A lot of our meat will go above that USDA scale where, you know, their scale ends at prime plus, and our meat will go, you know, we use the Japanese scale. Once grades, our beef grades choice and prime, then, you know, we use the Japanese scale as far as how to score the marbling score.
So, let me interrupt just for a second because, you know, you kind of mentioned something that jogged my memory. When I was talking in this brisket roundtable is where all this talk about Wagyu and Kobe beef had come up. Somebody on the panel had said, you know, people in America need to realize that the best cuts that are made here are actually shipped out. They're gone. People would never pay the prices, you know, $150, $200 a steak like people are paying across the borders. Is that a true statement to make? Are people not seeing here in the States the best cuts of beef?
I would say they are. I mean, we don't export. When we first started, we exported. We never exported our primals as far as like ribeye, stripple, and tenderloins. You know, those are the, you know, that's the best, you know, that's the best parts. We did export at one time to Korea and different places. They were different cuts. So I wouldn't say that. I would say that, you know, I know that there's Australian Wagyu, then there's the Japanese Kobe, and then there's the American or the domestic Wagyu. And I wouldn't believe that. I'm not positive, but I know that we don't send, right now we don't send any of our beef. We don't export any of our beef. That all the good cuts stay here. So we do, you know, we do send meat into, you know, Mexico. We still export a little bit, but it's not these primals that everybody's looking for. These, you know, the best cuts. So, and of course, all of our briskets stay here in the United States because we can hardly fill the market here. You know, so.
Tia Abels joining me here on the show is from Stroob Ranch. Tia, how does this beef differ from what I can get in my grocery store or a big box store? You know, how does it look? How does it feel? How does it taste, smell, and obviously the cost differences?
Yeah, of course, you know, the marbling is consistent and fine. So, you know, if you go, just for instance, if you looked at a ribeye, if you looked at a prime ribeye of another breed, you might see that the marbling or the fat would be in kind of chunks, you know, small sections, mm-hmm. Whereas Wagyu is really consistent and fine, and it's throughout the meat. So when you cook it, you know, it just kind of melts out of butter. That's what a lot of people say. If it's cooked correctly, it has the consistency of butter. Or I hear people say that they know that their brisket's ready when they probe it in it. Well, Wagyu brisket, and they probe it in it, feels like butter. I'm not a, you know, I'm not an expert cook, but I just hear these guys talk, and that is one thing that it will, if it's cooked right, you know, it'll just kind of melt in your mouth. And it's like the shear test they're done. The shear test is the test where, you know, they take the knife. It can be done at universities or labs, or where they take the knife and they basically put pressure on the knife to see how much pressure it takes to cut through this meat. And with Wagyu, it takes a lot less pressure. So that's, you know, that just means it's more tender. And the flavor is different. It kind of has a sweet, buttery consistency, and the flavor is a little bit sweet. Of course, the reason it's so much higher is because, not because of the name, not because of, it's because of how much more it costs to grow these animals. A conventional calf gains 3 to 5 pounds a day, depending on the climate and you know, environment, a lot of things. Whereas a Wagyu, they gain 1.8 pounds a day. So when corn or whatever is $8 a bushel, you can see how, you know, you can see why beef are expensive. They're very slow. They don't convert well, and they require a lot of days on feed. They require like nearly 400 days on feed. So whereas conventional cattle are, you know, 120 or 150, it just all depends. So there's a lot more cost involved in raising the animals.
All right, so let's pretend for a moment that I'm a newborn calf, freshly brought forth from my dear mother's loins. What happens to me in my formative days or years or whatever? You know, how am I treated? How am I fed? How am I kept healthy? What is that Stroob Ranch way?
We are just lucky if you're born here. But no, when they're born, you know, the moms are mama cows are all on, you know, green grass on pasture. You know, we have ponds, fresh water sources. Here where we're at in East Texas, it's the grass is really lush and green and deep. And so that calf is going to stay on the mom for about 8 months because they actually gain so slow. But as they're on the moms are supplemented. They have minerals, and we mix our own commodities. So, you know, we bring in, you know, distiller's grains and corn, and we put it out for the moms, and the calves slowly, you know, learn to eat that as well. Then once they are weaned, we wean the calf at about 8 months old. That's when we put them in what we call our grow lot. We have an on-site grow lot, and we're going to keep them in our grow lot for a few months, and then we feed them at an all-natural feed lot. So they're all fed at one feed lot, and they're all fed, they only feed our cow, and all of them, no hormones, no antibiotics. Of course, if an animal is sick, we treat it. We're not going to allow it to suffer, but we do treat it, but we take out the meat supply, and we just market it at our local sale barn, but we don't market the meat. So, but they have a good life. We make sure, you know, that the plant we're at, they have humane standards. It's, you know, it's not, you know, we don't really, I mean, we want the cattle, you know, and we know it's the whole circle of life, but while they're here, we want to be treated well. So the guys that handle them on the ranch, it's all the same guys. My husband runs our ranch, my father, and they're, you know, we don't use, a lot of ranches use dogs, or, you know, we don't use dogs, we don't use hot shots, probes. They use horses, that's how they work the cattle, and they're treated pretty good here. They have a good life, so.
Tia Abels joining me here on the show. How does that differ from, I guess, what some of the other meat producers are doing? Is it a lot more cruel in other businesses out there?
I'm sorry, you said, how does it differ in what? I missed the last part.
How is it different from the other meat producers out there? Do they treat their cattle, you know, a lot more inhumanely?
No, I don't think that. I think that, you know, there's always a producer that's going to give the others a bad name. But I hope that in general that, I think people, things are different, you know, things are different nowadays. And I think that people have learned, you know, people care about where their meat comes from. That's one thing that we, you know, even my dad, my dad's 70 years old, and he says, you know, you just, there's so much, he said, as a kid or when he was growing up, he said, you know, you ate what you had. He said, you didn't really think about where it came from or how it was cared for. And nowadays, that's something that, you know, that's important to everyone, including us. You know, we want, while they're alive, they need to be treated well, and that's one of the main things. Also, any kind of stress an animal goes through, or cow, they produce, you know, a hormone that affects their marbling and their grade. So our goal is for them to be, you know, no stress or as, you know, the least stress as possible. Even things like when we went through the horrible drought, you know, in Texas here a year ago, that affects grade, that affects marbling, and people think, oh, you're crazy. That does not, it does, because they're stressed, and any kind of stress, including weather, you know, affects it. So we call them the queens. You know, we just want to make sure that it's a low stress environment and have everything they need. And then, the same way with the moms, the better they're treated, the more milk they produce. You know, the more milk they produce, you know, you want to be your calf, a better calf. So it's, you know, it just all comes full circle.
Tia Abels joining us here on the show. So, Tia, at what point am I, I'm going back to me talking like I'm a calf again. At what point am I marked for slaughter? Is it age? Is it weight? Is it my movie star good looks? You know, how do you know when it's time to have that calf? Or what's the best point to slaughter the calf?
Well, we normally use weight. And, of course, the guys that feed our calves and, you know, one of the guys on the ranch, they know when they're finished. They can actually tell they've done it so long. Wagyu, you know, you have to know them. You have to have faith. You have to have experience with them. But they can look at them and tell when they're finished, when they're ready. Heifers get fatter sooner. So there's times, you know, everybody thinks, oh, the steer is the biggest and, you know, the steer is the best. But the heifers sometimes will actually finish sooner because they actually get fatter quicker. But the goal is, as far as weight goes, I mean, it just depends, but we like our calves to be around between 1,450 and 1,500 pounds. Back when corn was cheaper, people fed them, you know, they'd feed them up to 1,700 pounds, and this is in general conventional cattle as well, but the higher corn goes, you do see people harvesting lighter animals, so it's just, you know, this is how it goes. But we like ours right around 1,500 pounds. So we seem to be in that 75% prime, you know, weight, and that's great for us. So.
And you kind of alluded to it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. That's how we, you know, we market our beef by, you know, the grade classifications, you know, how it grades. So the more prime we have, you know, the better. You know, the better for us, or the higher prime, the better for us. So.
Oh, absolutely. I first heard of Stroob Ranch through some of the pitmasters that are out on the competition circuit. So I would imagine Stroob has seen a lot of success kind of in that barbecue sect. Is that a market that you had ever thought about targeting initially, or did it find you guys kind of?
Well, actually, I had kind of been, I don't know, doing some research. This is back several years ago. We had briskets that we knew how great they were. We knew what our ribeyes and our strips and our tenderloins were bringing. And I could see this marbling in these briskets, and I'm thinking, what, you know, we've got to have some kind of value added product. There's got to be a market out there. And I actually contacted Mike Davis, Lovable.
Yep.
And, you know, of course, at the time he said, you know, oh, we're doing fine, we're winning, you know, I don't really want to change anything. I said, okay, I understand. I just, you know, I said, let me send you a brisket. And so I sent him a couple of briskets, and he tried them, and he calls, and he says, oh, you know, oh, my God, you know, they're great. So that, it kind of went from there. And then we started having all this interest, and one of the problems we had were the distributors. They were saying, hey, you can't sell direct to these barbecue guys. You know, you're stepping on our toes. How do you, you know, how do we do that? You're selling to the same people that buy from us. And like I said, 80 to 90% of our business are distributors.
Yeah.
So we had to figure out how we wanted to satisfy the barbecue guys. The main thing is we want to be able to hand sort and pick those briskets. We want to be able to look at the flaps, look at the size, and not just send those out blindly, you know, to these customers, these barbecue customers. So Big Papa Smokers, that's where they came in. Sterling came down and visited the ranch, and he was like, you know, leather beef. We worked out a deal with them, and they actually, you know, they push our beef like crazy, and not just our briskets, but our beef in general. And, you know, you can go to the website, you can call them, you can order briskets. We still hand-pick them, sort them, and we drop-ship them from here. But it just avoids the whole, you know, it avoids the whole point that, you know, we're not stepping on distributors' toes anymore. We can still service the barbecue segment, and we can still get them the briskets they need, you know. We have guys that say, you know, I want a 12-pound brisket, some say I want a 14, some want 16. We've had requests like, you know, send me, I want the right and left side of the same spear, you know. You know, just kind of, it's pretty specific requests. So, and we always, you know, and we always enjoy hearing, you know, we have teams that call in and tell us how they're doing, you know, the results, or, you know, even if it's a complaint, you know, we want to hear it if we can do better. But that we've learned a lot, because when we started, I didn't know a thing about a flat. I didn't, you know, we knew how to raise cattle, and we knew we wanted the beef to be prime and high prime. But when it came to cooking a brisket, I didn't have a clue. So I've learned a lot. So.
And
everybody's so nice, you know, so nice and friendly.
And best place to buy them online is going to be Big Papa Smokers, then, correct?
Idiot. They're super. They're great. They have a their shipping rate is, that's where, you know, we have a lot of guys saying we first started. Now the people that we originally serviced before Big Papa came along, we still continue to service them directly. But any new customers that go to Big Papa, and that, you know, the big advantage is, of course, the customer service is great, but they have a huge shipping, you know, discount. So they have this, you know, big discount, whereas we had guys saying when we shipped them, hey, we're paying as much for the freight as the brisket. That's not working, you know. And so it works out well, and they're just, they're really easy to work with. And, you know, they know barbecue, so it works out good.
There you go. This is Tia Abels. StroobRanch.com is the website. Be sure to check that out. And, of course, if you want to look at buying online, Big Papa Smokers as well. Tia, thanks so much for coming on tonight and sharing that information. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You got it. There she is. Tia Abels, Stroob Ranch. Little Wagyu beef talk. About that? A lot of people saying on the instant chat that you cannot go anywhere around where they are and get prime or better. Did you say prime or better? Prime or super prime? Like the show, super prime, baby, yeah. Folks, March 15th and 16th, the first annual Smokin' at the Run contest will be held at the world-famous Buffalo Run Hotel and Casino in Miami, Oklahoma. I will be hosting the event, by the way. It's a first-time event, as I just said, sanctioned by the Kansas City Barbecue Society. A guaranteed $7,500 overall purse. Not bad for a first-time event. Entry fee is $200. You get a 20 by 40 spot that is on pavement. There are a few electrical spots as well with 20 and 30-amp runs if you need them. Don't wait another second. Visit BuffaloRun.com, then scroll down and click on the banner of the homepage. Full details, contact information can be found right there. Hey, kick off the competition barbecue season. In spectacular fashion, join me along with many other pitmasters who will be vying to be the first grand champion at this event. This competition is being organized by David Qualls. He is a competition cook. He knows what it takes to cook in a well-run contest. You know he's going to do it right. And again, head on over to BuffaloRun.com. Click on the Smokin' at the Run banner for more info or to get your application for entry submitted. $200 entry fee, $7,500 guaranteed overall payout, and me hosting the event. Yeah! It's got to be worth $200, right? Of course not. We're going to have a great time. I would love to see you out there as well. March 15th and 16th. Soon. We'll be here before you know it. Smokin' at the Run in Miami, Oklahoma at the world-famous Buffalo Run Hotel and Casino. BuffaloRun.com. That's BuffaloRun.com. I will see you there. All right, we're going to reload with Robin Lindars, the Grill Girl, coming up. Stick around. Also, straight ahead, your chance to win. What are we winning? Smokin' Scully's barbecue sauce. So get your fat fingers ready on your email. We'll be right back to win.
Now the time on the show when we get stuff away. Stuff away. Now's the time on the show when we get stuff away. Stuff away.
All right, your chance to win some of Brian Corbett's Smokin' Scully's barbecue sauce. Fred Neville won some last week. He said it was some of the best sauce he's had in a while. Vinegar-based-ish, maybe Western Carolina, for those that watched Barbecue Pitmasters past Sunday. So you could win Smokin' Scully's competition sauce if you shoot me off an email. Be the first one in, and in the subject line, North Carolina Barbecue Champ. North Carolina Barbecue Champ. Spell it correctly. And you can win Brian Corbett's Smokin' Scully's competition sauce. Good luck.
Get in the smoke. Call 877-448-0433 to get on the air. Now, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, we are back, 877-448-0433, Greg at thebbqcentralshow.com. Those are two ways to get in touch with me. Thanks again to Tia Abels for joining me, talking about the prime beef stuff over at Stroob Ranch. All right, where am I at? Next guest, a monthly contributor to the show. Although I don't think we actually connected last month, but she is a blogger, a webisode maker, newly published author. Go ahead and race over to the hotline. And grab creator of Grill Girl, Robin Lindars, joins me here on the show. Robin, how are you?
I'm doing cool.
I'm doing absolutely fabulous, Robin. Appreciate you joining me as always. And a lot of stuff to cover tonight here during your segment. So since we missed you last month, best Christmas present that you got, what do you think?
What did I get that was cool? I got a Weber outdoor fire pit. It was super awesome.
Is it just like a wood burning one, or is it one of those gas powered ones?
No, it just burns wood. And you know, I've been looking at it forever. My Big Green Egg dealer is also, Dean is also the Weber dealer, and I've kind of been like staring down this fire pit for the past year and a half. And of course, when I actually put it on my Christmas list, it was discontinued. So, my husband had to chase it down, but, my goal is to do like some crazy stuff on it and to, you know, figure out how to cook on it. But ideally just enjoy it in the backyard too. And, you know, even in the summertime, it'll be a great way to keep the mosquitoes away down here in South Florida. Yes. So that was my favorite one.
All right. And then, New Year, just a couple days old now. Any New Year's resolutions that we're going to be trying to stick to this year?
Well, this one's cliche, and everybody says this, but I am trying to exercise more this year. I actually put this on my blog, and everyone says this, so it's dumb that I even say it, because, you know, it's a dime a dozen, but, you know, I love yoga pants, so I wear them all the time. So this year I'm thinking I should actually try to exercise in them. Like, imagine that, right? So, but, you know, as far as in the cooking arena, my goal this year is to really just get more creative and do more outdoor cooking, but not necessarily on the grill, just do more outdoor cooking, like, you know, camping or just cooking over a live fire or, you know, even cooking on my fire pit or, you know, digging a big hole in the backyard and putting a bunch of rocks there and making a spit and just getting kind of back to the roots of cooking over a live fire and all the different things that you can do with that. So that's kind of my goal this year. And, it's your job to light a fire under my ass next year if we need to bring this conversation back up and see how well I did.
Well,
what were some of yours, Greg?
We won't even wait a year. We'll just wait maybe a couple months and see how that's going. What do you think?
Okay, cool. Right. I like it.
We'll hold you to it. All right. You've said it here, so it's documented forever on the interwebs.
absolutely.
One of the other things that you were working on this when we were down at the Kingsford Invitational, when we were taking those long bus rides down to the middle of nowhere, you were kind of off in the corner, kind of pounding away on the keyboard, and everybody's like, what is Robin doing? And you're like, oh, I'm trying to get this book published. Where are we at? Is it published? Is it going to be a paper book? Is it an ebook? What are we doing here?
Yeah, so I came out with an ebook right around Thanksgiving, and it's been funny because, you know, I'd say for the older generation, like, I don't want to classify my parents as old, but, you know, like, for their friends, they're like, oh, great, Robin published a book. Where can we buy it? And, you know, and I'll be like, oh, it's downloadable on the Kindle. And they're like, what's that? You know, so it's an ebook, which means it's electronic, so you can download it on a Kindle, and not everyone has a Kindle, so there is an app there's an app that makes it convertible from a Kindle to just being readable on an iPad or other devices. The goal with my publishing company is to make it available on all devices, like iPad, iPhone, you know, readily available, not with an app, for everything by grilling season, which, you know, Greg, for us, it's always grilling season, but for, you know, the people that it starts like Memorial Day, ideally it'll be available by Memorial Day. And, you know, my goal is like in the next year to have it done in paperback, just because it's still nice to be able to hold something and sign it and, you know, go to an event and sell books that way. So, but I think it's a big step towards doing a full, you know, an actual hard copy book. So I'm excited.
It's almost like bands doing EPs in order to get like an LP signed from a record deal, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I thought it would be easier than it actually was. You know, when I got together with this publisher, they're like, you know, let's just take your blog post and we're going to repurpose it into a book. And, you know, the content's already written, no big whoop. And, you know, then you get into it and you're like, you know, I wrote this blog post like 4 years ago, and if I rewrote it today, I would have done this differently. And you know, the intro at the time I wrote it isn't really applicable to how I would want you to read it in the book. So, you know how everything in life is a can of worms, and you get into it and you attach your name to it and you want it to, you know, be your book and, you know, represent yourself. So, you know, everything is just more work than you always think it is. So, especially like my older blog posts, I ended up rewriting a lot of them, the formatting and everything. So, but I'm proud of it. You know, it's nice to have a consolidated, effort of your, accomplishments and work. And it was kind of cool once you got in it to actually see how many recipes I've developed, which was, it was quite a lot. It was well over 100 good recipes to make a book out of. So it's kind of cool. You know, it's baby steps for me. Or not even baby steps, big steps. So exciting stuff.
So is the book going to be something that people are going to get, and it's going to be like a cookbook where you're going to have, okay, here's main dishes, here's appetizers, blah, 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 and here are the steps to make it? Or is it anecdotal as well? You know, what can potential buyers and readers of this book expect?
So, you know, you've probably heard me talk about this before, Greg, but my idea behind grilling is that you can grill everything, you know, and especially for females who I think classify grilling as like, oh, the guy's out grilling and, you know, he's outside doing steaks and I'm inside as the female doing the sides or the salad. My book is anecdotal to the fact that the goal is that you can make everything on the grill, and you can create different zones and do everything, appetizer, entree, sides, dessert, there, even cocktails. So that, you know, grilling is a thing that you do together as a family, or, you know, if it's yourself, you're not running back and forth, you know, cooking one thing in the kitchen and the other thing in the grill, you can do everything right there. So, and it's a lot more than just entrees, you know, it's a lot of vegetables and sides and things that you wouldn't think of, like dessert, which is kind of something that I've always been into, is just kind of pushing the envelope and really using your grill more like an outdoor oven and more like just another heat source, versus always classifying it as, oh, the grill, I'm cooking on live fire and I'm making hot dogs and hamburgers and steaks and that's it, you know, and just kind of putting the grill in a different framework as like I said, just another heat source, you know, where you can do everything there, just like you can inside your kitchen and on your oven. In your oven, I should say. In or on your oven.
So. Yeah, Robin Lindar is joining us here on the show. Grillgirl.com is the website, G-R-R-R-L.com, grillgirl.com. So kind of like dovetailing in there. I mean, people know you as the Grill Girl, but I know you've been also trying your hand at some briskets, so that is going to evoke the romance of barbecue, true low and slow. And from what I understand, you've been having some pretty good success. So, you know, what's your method? What are you using to cook it on? Rubs and injections, all that good stuff, kind of lay it out for us.
So this is the second time I've done brisket. And, you know, I am a North Carolina girl at heart. So I did not grow up eating brisket. You know, pork is kind of my deal. But, God, I got to tell you, my husband, I swear, like, brisket is like an aphrodisiac for him. I've never seen anything like it. So the first time I did brisket, it turned out awesome, and I didn't write down what I did, but I did it on my Big Green Egg. And I followed the method of Chris Lilly and Adam Perry Lang, where, you know, I did a small point, you know, which is enough for two people. And this time I did a 4-pound point. And, you know, I started out, I actually, this time I did it on the Weber Smoky Mountain at my dad's house, which I think is an excellent smoker as well, a water smoker. And I started out with a beef base, which, as you know, Chris Lilly is really into. And I learned that my first year at Kingsford University, which beef base is just like a heavily concentrated beef stock. And then following in the footsteps of Adam Perry Lang, I don't know if you're familiar with Adam Perry Lang,
sure.
But he's kind of one of my, you know, not worthy kind of guys. But he's all about adding elements, layers of flavor. So, you know, you'll notice from his recipes that there's a lot of steps. So I did a rub after the beef base, you know, your basic salt, pepper, garlic, salt. Smoked paprika. I love smoked paprika, brown sugar. And this is all going to be on my blog pretty soon. So, you know, it'll be up pretty soon. And then, I did the Texas crutch. And actually I had just had a flu shot that day and I did something by accident that turned out really well. Like, I think I was feeling a little spacey and, in my wrap, I meant to put apple juice, but out of, I don't know. I was having a blonde moment and I accidentally poured sweet tea into my wrap, my wrap mix. And it turned out really awesome. So, you know what? Sometimes accidents work out really well. And, so that'll be my special ingredient, this one. So it was a brown sugar, onion, sweet tea mixture for the Texas crutch. And then finally a glaze at the end, taking the foil off. This is at the end, you know, after it had been on for about 7 hours, just letting, you know, I take that back. The glaze came on after about 8.5 hours, excuse me. Just to kind of tighten up on the grill, it was a glaze of barbecue sauce, cider vinegar, and sugar. And, we did it low and slow, 225, for almost 9 hours, you know, at 180 degrees, we knew it was ready to take off. And we used a mixture of apple and pecan wood, which I've never done that combination before. It turned out awesome. So, yeah, you know what? I think that I could have entered a competition with it. It was competition ready, I think. My dad, you know, is a barbecue judge, and he was impressed. But it is my dad. I mean, maybe he'll always be favorable because I'm his daughter. But anyway, it's a killer recipe. It's going to be posted on my site soon. I'm proud of it. If it sucked, I would tell you guys that. You guys know I'm really honest, and I'm usually pretty hard on myself and give criticism where criticism is due. And I will say that this turned out really well, and it was following the gurus, Chris Lilly and Adam Perry Lang, with my own little twist on it. So how can you go wrong?
And I think the information that was gleaned here by the Centralites is this: cook brisket, get laid. Is that right? Is that what we're breaking it down to?
Yes, my husband, just to tell you how much he loves brisket, he was probably a Texan in his past life because he's from New Jersey, and he's so funny. He told me the other day, he's like, wow. He's like, you know what? I never even knew barbecue until I started dating you. And he's like, you know, I used to think I'd get good barbecue at the Dixie Pig, which is the barbecue restaurant down here. And he's like, wow, I didn't know anything. It's such a great world you've introduced. 4 servings, 4 he went back for fourths on Sunday night. So, yes.
Like
barbecue
it.
And aphrodisiac.
Cool. All right. So we have the Super Bowl coming up here. We got about a minute left. Do you have any like really good recipe ideas for, well, I mean, we got Championship Sunday coming up too, but then of course the Super Bowl in a couple weeks after that. Like, what are some of your favorites to do for games like this?
My old standby, which is one of my favorite recipes, my Chipotle Sriracha wings, wings in a base of Sriracha, Chipotle peppers, Frank's hot sauce, with homemade blue cheese dip. It's killer. What else? Chris Grove and I are developing a recipe in homage to the Tater Patch from Kingsford University, which you know well, and you should. Yes. We should tell that story collectively.
Oh yeah, we'll have a Tater Patch roundtable.
And that's going to be a tater tot nacho, which sounds like you could just keel over from a heart attack right there. And of course, jalapeno poppers are always on my list because you just can't go wrong with a jalapeno popper. Yesterday, I started working on a recipe that I've developed for a company I'm working with. It's a grilled pineapple and black bean and coconut salsa. So that's kind of on the healthier end of Super Bowl if you can be healthy. But I've actually kind of been grazing on that all day, and it's pretty awesome. So that'll be on my site pretty soon too. So and then I'm also working on a grilled meatball sandwich. So plenty of stuff to clog your arteries and go well with beer for game day.
Well, I don't know how well that's going to work out for your effort to get into those yoga pants, Robin, but we'll see how it goes. Robin Lindars is the Grill Girl. You can find her at grillgirl.com. I always appreciate the time, Robin. We'll talk to you next month.
Happy 2013, Greg.
You too. Take care. There she is. Robin Lindars from the Grill Girl. You can find her again at grillgirl.com. That's with three R's, GRRRL.com. Get out your defibrillators, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to be getting those recipes. All right, so I cook on a Grilla pellet cooker. I cook with Barbecuer's Delight wood pellets. Absolutely. Widely considered to be the pellet resource for pellet-fired cookers. That's right. Now, whether it's on the competition trail or you're just a backyard guy like me, folks choose Barbecuer's Delight wood pellets more than any other brand for their superior quality and flavor. And you should give them a try as well. You can find them at bbqrsdelight.com. If you don't have a pellet cooker, don't worry. Don't get all crazy. You can still take advantage of the pellet revolution on your gas or charcoal grill or smoker by grabbing the cast iron pot option. Buy yourself a nice sampler pack of pellets. Load 1/3 cup into the pot and then place it into your cooker or grill. Let that sweet, succulent smoke take care of the rest. Now, pellets have been processed from sawdust by pressure, like extrusion, so there's pressure there. It generates heat, so any contaminants present in the wood are eliminated. This produces a sterile, smoking wood product of consistent quality. Pellets are easy to use. You don't have to soak them in water prior to use. It's easy to blend wood flavors to produce consistent results each and every time you use Barbecuer's Delight wood pellets. So do yourself a favor. Head on over to bbqrsdelight.com right now and grab some Barbecuer's Delight wood pellets. Check out all the flavors they have. Stop fussing with the sticks and the chunks. Go to Barbecuer's Delight, the choice of competition cooks and backyard hacks just like me. BBQRSDelight.com. That's BBQRSDelight.com. All right. Thanks again to Robin Lindars for joining me. We're coming back with your chance to win Ribs Within Rub. You know what I say. Get those fat winning fingers ready. Stick around. We'll be right back.
On the show where we give stuff away for no money, that's why it's free of charge. You can win. Now it's time to give stuff away.
First and foremost, this fourth ward / section 8 is going down tremendously. Second hour is going to find me refueling, undoubtedly. First of all, congratulations to Aaron Frankel for winning the Smoke and Scully sauce. Alan, send me an email, say, I won Smoke and Scully sauce, and then include your shipping info in the next email that you send me. I will clear out
the emails now. Alan, send me your shipping info. And reference Smoking Scully somewhere so I don't forget. Your chance to win a two-pack of Ribs Within Rubs coming from the creator himself, Doug. Is it Keels? Sorry, buddy. You've seen him on Chopped, Grillmaster Edition. That was on the Food Network this past summer, I believe. It's a bottle of Rub for All and a bottle of Wahoo Chicken. Rubs Within Rubs. Yeah, baby. In the subject line, first one in, Rub One Out. Rub One Out. Spell it nice. You know you won't win if you don't. Your chance to win, Ribs Within. Bottle of the Rub For All and a bottle of Wahoo Chicken. Good luck.
Big name interviews, advice on cooking brisket and ribs, and the only host willing to share his honest opinion on all things important in the world of barbecue, it's the Barbecue Central Show.
Who would have thought this music thing was going to go this far? I never asked for this. I never asked for this fast living. The women, the whiskey, craziness. There's whiskey in my soul. Hey, Bertie, stop.
I've been drifting down that open highway. Finger in the air, cause I do things my way.
Alrighty.
The next town's
welcome
where
back.
I call home.
By the way, Doug was in Robin Lindar's version of, or episode of Chopped. So she knows what kind of a cook this guy is. So we have the winner of Ribs Within Rubs, Christopher Sorrell. Chris, send me your shipping info. Send me a thing in the email that references Ribs Within Rubs. Ribs Within Rubs. Kevin, you were the first one in, but you didn't spell it out. Rub one out. Spell it out. Listen, guys. Come on now. Coming up next hour, we have a $10 gift card from the BarbecueSuperstore.com. We also have a one barbecue invitation kit, compliments of DerekArt.com. That can be found at Mr. Retro, MR, MrRetro.com. There'll be a downloadable file sent to you from the artist himself. So thanks to DerekArt.com and Stuart Sandler, not Adam Sandler, Stuart Sandler for hooking us up. All right, thanks to Robin Lindars for joining me last segment, and Tia Abels for joining me the segment before that, talking about the Strew Branch stuff. We'll reload here, get ready for the second hour, and look forward to Mike Peters and then John Dawson joining me for that. So I'm going to go refuel. You should refuel. Why not? It's a refueling type of part. You are listening / watching to the Barbecue Central Show on the Barbecue Central Networks. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Greg Rempe, host of the Barbecue Central Radio Show. And you are listening to BCRN, all barbecue and grilling all the time.
Happy to have you aboard here for the really big barbecue show.
We cook because we have to, and we grill because we want to.
Fine, how's it going?
I just like being anywhere with Junior, Senior, and Diva.
Sounds like a whole other type of movie.
Wow. Yeah, really.
Come on, Greg. You're asking a guy whose team name is Pellet Envy. So obviously the answer you're going to get is no.
So what seems to be the problem here? This man looks like he's dead, and he's in the crackle.
How hot is Kelly Ripa in person?
Kelly Ripa is super hot. She's absolutely delicious.
Oh, yeah.
She's a butter baster and plank stinkies with that girl. She's delicious.
Succulent fish. What?
There's no Robert Porker who's in charge of pig meat out there.
You could use it to fight off creeping marauders looking to take your steaks off your grill.
I'm shaking like a dog shitting peach seeds.
Keep it hot, keep it clean, keep it lubricated. This right here is the Premier Media Hour.
We have top men working on it right now. Who? Top men.
All right, just like that, we are into the second hour, ladies and gentlemen.
877-448-0433, greg@thebbqcentralshow.com. I don't know about you, but I went ahead and refueled up the Section 8.
East End Boys and West End Gills.
Gills. I always feel like I'm Paul McCartney when I do. Gills. That's how you say it in England. Gills. Hey, Gills. What are you doing over there, Gills? Look at the barbecue. Whatever. Thanks again to Robin Lindars for joining me last segment. Also, Tia Abels from Stroob Ranch, stroobranch.com. If you want to buy, I saw I was getting some questions in the instant chat when Tia was on about where can I get a Stroob Ranch brisket. Big Papa Smokers. Sterling Ball, fantastic individual. Do business with him. Very reputable across the industry. So evidently he is that kind of workaround for Stroob Ranch to set up a distributor for the barbecue people. So, go there. Deal with Sterling. Big Papa Smokers. And there you go. Will I make it through Survey Tuesday? Question coming in from Sylvie Curry. Will Greg make it through the second hour after the second cocktail? Answer is yes. Sylvie, man's game. I sent my first rodeo, sister. All right, there's a very good chance I could be throwing up. You got it. You know me too well. Coming up on the show next week, we have Harry Sue from Slap Yo Daddy. Oh, yeah, he's coming in. We're finally going to get this chicken to 140 thing ironed out. There'll be no more questions. We're going to hear it right from the horse's mouth. Harry Sue from Slap Yo Daddy. Also, special guest, somebody that I've really been working on since the Kingsford Invitational trip that I took. Sarah Schilling, brewing specialist from Anheuser-Busch. She kind of hosted the class that was giving us, what am I trying to say here? What happened to my picture? Why am I not bigger? I don't know. That's weird. She was like the host of the class. We had a appetizer, we had a main course, we had a soup, we had a dessert, and she paired it with beers, each beer. So finally, and here, you know, I learned so much in that hour that we had with her about, you know, how beer bottles are super filled with carbon dioxide. And like, I won't drink beer out of a bottle anymore. No way, no how.
Get that big stuff out of here.
I don't want to do spoiler alert or anything like that, so I'm not going to get into it. But needless to say, when I see a bottle of beer now, I got to find me a glass. So we're going to get beer pouring tips. We're going to get beer pairing tips. We're going to find out how some of those Anheuser-Busch products are made. This is going to be a great segment. Potential now could be a semi kind of maybe once or twice a year recurring guest. Looking so forward to that interview. Sarah Schilling is going to really knock it out of the park, or at least I hope she's going to be doing. Folks, what the hell is going on over in England?
Get that big stuff out of here.
Children poisoned by fumes after barbecue used to dry clothes indoors. Hello?
Get that big stuff out of here.
Six people, including four young children, have been treated for carbon monoxide poisoning after their grandmother brought a barbecue indoors to dry her washing. Great. The woman, who has not been named, we'll call her Dumbass, lit the barbecue in the family kitchen before leaving the house to East London. Her three-year-old daughter collapsed. I'm sorry, her three-year-old granddaughter collapsed when she was overcome by the deadly gas later that afternoon and was treated in the hospital with five other relatives. They included two boys, aged 2 and 10 months, a four-year-old girl, and the woman's two daughters-in-law, aged 26 and 29. Firefighters were called to the house in East Ham, London, last Wednesday afternoon, soon after the grandmother set up her makeshift laundrette. Spokesman for the London Fire Brigade said the elderly woman carried the barbecue in from the garden around 3 p.m., placed it near the back door to speed up the drying of the clothes, which she hung out in the kitchen. Great idea! She then walked out, leaving her daughter-in-laws in the house with her grandchildren. Two of the women were asleep upstairs.
One adult began to feel unwell before the little girl collapsed. All six have now been discharged from the hospital. So bottom line, everybody's good. Everybody's good. Second bottom line, people in England, drying clothes inside with a lid grill, worst idea ever. Doesn't it clearly state all over the bag, don't light indoors? Don't we know what's happening here? I once worked with a fellow that said if, like, all the heat were out and he had to stay warm, he would bring his gas grill inside and just light it and let it go. So here's some things that we have to know, right? Is that's a bad idea. Secondly, I believe gas when lit inside, if it's not vented out, is just going to eat up all the oxygen anyway. You're probably going to suffocate. But more importantly than that, if you're lighting charcoal inside, you might as well go out and start your car and start inhaling on the gas pipe in large bong rips because you're going to die.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Grandma, where, dear, like the little three-year-old girl,
Grandma, why do you hate me? Why are you making us breathe in these charcoal fumes with monoxide?
Or maybe,
Grandma, why you want to start the grill? Try and kill us with the carbon monoxide poisoning from the grill, Grandma.
I'm trying to do the laundry, kiddo. I'm trying to speed up the laundry process, I am. Now go fetch me a shilling and get me a goose for Christmas breakfast, you little ungrateful bastard. You can wash and dry your own clothes for all I care. I'm going to go to London now and shop and ride on the double buses. Wow. I'm going to be in trouble. Here they come. Here come John Pierce. No offense. By the way, I said John Pierce was from Canada last week. That is incorrect. He's from London, or he's from England, the UK, and we're going to be making a drink next week that he recommended. It's called the Caipirinha, and the liquor that you need, which is a bitch to find here in the States, is called cachaça. Pull. Wait for this drink. Little effort that goes into it, but it is well worth the reward. Well worth the reward. You know what else is well worth the reward?
Oh, I've got to go into the garden now. I've got all this laundry. I'm going to go pick up the barbecue. I'm going to go light up all of my coals and see what happens. I've got to speed up the drying process before the kiddos leave for school. And then I'm going to go into London and grab a pint and eat some fish and chips with my bad teeth.
All right, that's it. Anyway, you know, let's not do that ever. Also, do I have time for this? Yeah. So maybe you've seen this. You know, there's certain guys, right, or certain people. There's, you know, softball guy. There's fantasy football guy, all this stuff. How about this? Where did I go? Here we go. These are the worst people at a barbecue. How about this guy, the backseat griller? Worst guy ever.
Get that big stuff out of here.
I think we're all backseat griller guy, by the way. You gonna flip that now? Oh, it's overdone. No. How about this guy, Mr. Well Done? This burger still looks a little red. Can you put it on a little longer for me? And by longer you mean brown? Beat it.
Get that big stuff out of here.
How about this lady? Sometimes, guy, the passive-aggressive vegetarian. No, I don't mind. I'll continue to not eat. There's nothing here for me to eat anyway.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Yeah, she's one of the worst. Oh, and by the way, if Backseat Griller isn't us, Reverend Semantics of the Church of Barbecue is all of us. That's not grilling. That's barbecuing. I thought I was going to get low and slow food. This is all grilling. I know. We're all part of that. Guilty as charged. How about the guy who brought 2 gallons of coleslaw? Weirdo. Rounding out the creepy neighbor guy. We all have those. I shoot creepy neighbor guy, by the way, because I have a house full of 3 daughters. And you have the profiteer, the guy that just rips you off. Comes in with nothing, leaves with chips, 5 cans of beer, your leftover steak. And the hungry come later guy. Everybody loves the hungry come later guy.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Everybody loves the hungry come later guy. Showed up 10 hours late. Hey! Can I get something to eat? Sure. Power party ended like 5 hours ago, loser. Guys, we talk about it all the time. You're going to go on the internet. You're going to make purchases.
We want to make sure that you are dealing with people that are reputable in the industry. That's why I always recommend Fred Bernardo and the gang over at Tasty Licks Barbecue. Don't do business with anybody else on the internet that you don't know is a reputable person. Look, I vet the sponsors of the show. If I'm not doing business with sponsors of the show, they don't become sponsors of the show. I mean, that's just the bottom line. So if there's something that you're looking for that you can't find anywhere and you have to go on the internet, I would recommend trying TastyLicksBBQ.com first and foremost. Fred has everything in stock that you find on his website. He's not drop shipping anywhere. He's not waiting for it to come in from China. Now, are there other places on the internet you might be able to find some things that are cheaper, perhaps, but are you 100% confident you're actually going to get the item that you buy? How long is it going to take to get to you? Great questions that no one can answer with 100% assurity. That's why I tell you, when you buy from Fred Bernardo and the folks at Tasty Licks, the items are in the store. They ship to you promptly. Everything in the store priced fairly. You want to work out some type of special deal, Jones, lob Fred a phone call. He's a businessman. I'm sure he's going to be interested in possibly working something out with you. Not say he's going to. Like, possibly. Tasty Licks carries grills, smokers, ceramic cookers, electric cookers, various charcoal types, wood chunks, chips, chunks, pellets, cookbooks, accessories. If they don't have it, do you need it? No. On top of all of that, Fred carries many of the other show sponsors of the Barbecue Central Show right there in his store. You're doing a two-for-one. You're shopping at a sponsor. You're buying sponsors' products. Best of both worlds, guaranteed. Also, they have their own line of rubs and sauces, the Tasty Licks lines of barbecue sauces and rubs. I love all their stuff. It's fantastic. Head on over to TastyLicksBBQ.com. Let the confidence exude from you as you make your online purchases. Enjoy the items upon delivery. Don't forget, Fred and the gang help you after the sale as well if you need it. And they have a couple really good barbecue and pizza classes coming up. Just get over there, TastyLicksBBQ.com, and revel in all of the stuff that they have for you to take part in, try, enjoy, and buy. Tasty Licks Barbecue Supply, proud sponsor of the show, and I am proud to have it. We're coming back with Mike Peters. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting live from the Barbecue Central Radio Network studios in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Radio Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
Of course, there's no audio because I don't have my friggin' mic up. Jeez, what an idiot.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Someday I'm going to remember that. Well, it doesn't matter. All right. Anyway, my first guest, second hour, generally traveling the country preaching the barbecue gospel as co-director and the host of the Great American Barbecue Tour, also making a bid for election to the KCBS Board of Directors. So always happy to have someone on the show looking to get their platform out to the voting public of KCBS. So we go ahead and race over the hotline and grab Mike Peters joining me here on the show. Mike, how are you, buddy?
Hey, doing great, Greg.
Mike, you're listening to the show. Turn off the browser.
Hey, doing great, Greg.
You're listening to the show somewhere else. Turn off the browser.
Mike, turn off. Turn it off.
Turn it off.
Oh, I got you, I think. Mike?
Turn off the browser.
Mike, can you hear me? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Oh, here comes video, too. Hey, Mike. Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can I hear me now?
I can. There you go. Got everything shut down, and now it's just me and you.
I hope so.
It was the Echo Monster. I knew what it was right when we hit Jump Street. That's all right. No problem. Wait, now I'm getting it again.
All right, no problem.
Do you have the chat room up?
Wait, now I'm getting it again.
Probably so. Hold
Kill
on.
It.
The chat room. Wait, now I'm getting it again.
Probably so. Hold
Kill
on.
It. The chat room. Wait, I'm getting it
again. Chat room's dead.
All right.
How's that?
Do you have any other browsers open?
No.
No? All right. Now we should be all right. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you
now. There we go.
Damn technology.
That's all right. My fault. I didn't tell you to shut everything else down and just focus all of your attention on me. I thought you would have figured that out, Mike. Attention all on me. Always attention on me. All right. Look, before we get into the platform and stuff about why you're running for KCBS and all that stuff, maybe a little bit of background on you, your experience in barbecue, and how long you've been a KCBS member.
Great question, Greg. We've been cooking since probably, I think, 02. My wife and I are the Here Piggy Piggy Barbecue team, so we've cooked quite a bit. The last 5 years, we've been the barbecue tour team for the Kansas City Barbecue Society, and so we've been traveling the country promoting barbecue and just living the dream.
Living the barbecue dream, or are you living some other kind of dream, Mike?
living the barbecue dream, Greg.
All right, so... Have you ever served on the board in the past, Mike, or this would be first time?
First time.
So typically, or at least it's been my experience when I talk to people that are running for the board, there seems to be an impetus for doing something like this. Was there or has there been a specific event or a change in the board that has sparked your interest for running at this point, Mike?
I wouldn't really say a change in the board. I know last year it seemed like the guys that got on came in with a big agenda. They didn't have the numbers to make the changes that they wanted to change. And not that I see a lot of things that need to be changed. I just think that it's time. It's the right time for me to help give back, I guess is the best way to put it.
All right. So we're talking about giving back. So maybe we can jump in a little bit as far as more of the intricacies of the platform. We're talking Mike Peters, Great American Barbecue Tour host and pitmaster here, Piggy Piggy Barbecue Team, kcbs.us/tour.php. If I just tell you tour, it's not going to go. Tour.php if you want to find out more about the barbecue tour. But a little bit more about the platform you're running on, why you're running, and what you are able to bring to the board if elected.
I think for us, Greg, we travel the country all the time. We're the face of barbecue at all these different events. And so everybody comes to us, complaint department, the question department, all of that stuff. And it's great that we're able to do that. I think now is probably the right time to help make a difference with that. For me, the main reason is membership. When I look at the membership numbers, just going back 6 months worth on what I could find on the bull sheet as far as the board of directors' numbers of losing members, we're not retaining anybody. We're still growing, so nobody really cares because the organization is growing. And that's great. That's what we want to do. Why aren't people seeing the same thing that I see, that all these people that we run into on the road all the time see? What are they missing that I'm getting and want to be able to be a part of this organization and do more things with it? And I think that's the thing that is driving me.
All right, so let me ask you this question, Mike, and this kind of dovetails, I think, into the point that you were making. I asked Stephanie Wilson and Shira Hill last week, and I'm interested in your thought on this. If you're a member of KCBS, but you don't compete, but you don't judge, what the hell is in it for you? Why would somebody want to stay a member after they're, after you need to renew? What's in it for them? What's my win?
Good question. I mean, why would they be a member in the first place? If they weren't a judge, they weren't a cooking team, why would they even join in the first place? And I don't think those are the people that we want. I think there's the people that join, whether they get a membership from a family member, they win free thing at their work to go take a certified judging class. They, for whatever reason, they sit down, and that's where most of the people come into is the judges wise. They sit down in that judging class. Maybe they judge a contest, maybe they don't. We're not doing anything to say, hey, what can we do to make your experience better? What can we do to keep you involved? What can we do to help you get that – drink the Kool-Aid, I guess, is the best way to put it, to see what we're seeing to be able to re-up or to be able to do more things or start your own cooking team. I mean, I think there's – if they're not interested in the first place, I don't understand why they're taking 4 hours out of their day for a class. But – what can we do to hook them a little bit more to keep that interest going and have them help grow the organization?
All right, so let's go ahead and build on that. If somebody's wasting that 4 hours where they don't really have, you know, that passion, you're talking about hooking them, what do you think that you can bring? What ideas can you bring that might help you, continue the increase, but perhaps more importantly, you know, retain the bread and butter that's already there?
Well, I think the bread and butter, the folks that are the cooking teams, the judges that are judging, the rank and file that's been with us and part of that base is always going to be there. And I you know, to help them, I don't want to say it, to appease them isn't going to take a whole bunch. You know, you just don't want to piss them off, and they're going to be happy. They're going to keep doing what they're doing, and they love the life of barbecue, and that's what we love too. The getting, whether it's I know Don Harwell had proposed about for new cooking teams, patches or recognition when they've cooked their 10th cook, things along those lines. For those newer teams that are starting out, get them hooked into something for with barbecue. You know, we with the judges, they get the nice name tag, and that's a hook for them. It shows a sense of pride when they can go to events. They take their books, you know, things along those lines. Get to be master judges, and other things. I know that they're looking at to keep those people involved. I think it's great to do that for the long timers, but also to find something within that first 6 months of. Why did you join KCBS? Did you join just to take the class? You know, what can we do to help you, whether you're a cooking team or whether you're a judge? And just finding out what we can do to find that thing. You know, it didn't take much for us to love barbecue. We did our first contest, won a prize, and we were hooked. And we won't ever go back from that.
Mike Peters joining me here on the show, running for KCBS Board of Directors. That voting ends January 18th, by the way, so if you're interested in voting and you haven't, please go ahead and listen closely to these interviews we have. Go back to listen to some of the archives that we've done with other people that are running as well. Mike, in years past, there's been clamoring for regional representation of the board. Do you think that is still a topic that holds water at this point, or are we well past that right now?
I think the problem with regional representation is how do you implement it? You know, a lot of people say it's already implemented by how people vote. If there's somebody that's strong in a region, you would hope that that region where they come from would vote for that person. That's going to vote them in. You know, we had 17% voter turnout last year. I'm anxious to see what it's going to be this year. I really don't know or have an answer to that. I don't know what all's gone into in the past as far as making something regional happen or not happen. I'd almost rather see the board members made up of the most votes throughout the whole organization and have some kind of a regional representation at a lower level. I think it's been done in the past, and I think they had issues. Maybe that's not the right route to go. The membership voted for regional representation, so I think it's up to the board to try to do their best to figure out a way to make it happen. I think that's the hard thing, is just making something happen that'll work.
Mike, you're a competition cook. You're also touring and showing people how to barbecue better, or introduce them to not only the sport but the art of barbecue as well with the Great American Barbecue Tour. Would you like to see an all-cooks board of directors, or do you need to have different perspectives in order to maintain that proper vision?
No, I don't think so because I think it's what they bring to the board. When I look at the members that were running this year, I don't know some of them. I'll be real honest. In as much as we travel, I would almost think that we would. But you know, the Wayne Lohman has done wonderful things with the international teams and the international presence, which I think is important for KCBS to grow. Don Harwell, I know when he was on the board before, was always involved with the scoring wise and the computer side of it, and that's an important part to make sure everything is judged fairly. It's the level playing field that we all hope for. There's a lot of contest reps. There's not a whole bunch of cooks, actual true cooks. I think Steph, Cheryl, Candy, and I would consider us in that too, as far as just straight cooks that are running for the board. I think we'll look for, hopefully look for protecting the cooks and doing what's right for the cooks as best as we can. You know, that's important. I think we're all certified judges too, but that's not the main thing that we go out and do.
Mike Peters joining me here on the show, here Piggy Piggy Barbecue Team, and then also hosting the Great American Barbecue Tour out there. You hear a lot about continuing education for judges, how to do it effectively and maintain consistent guidelines from coast to coast. Do you have any thoughts about how to keep the judges out there kind of all on the same page, and what's the most effective way of doing that?
You know, I listened last week, and it was brought up as far as that they can always go to CBJ classes for that to keep up on their skills. I think that's great. You know, in looking back at the last number of years when the judging has changed, there's a lot of judges out there that were trained in the old school or the old ways. I believe, if I'm correct, they're working on a judging criteria or the judging to track judges. I think it'll be great because I think that'll help show some of the judges that might not be in tune with where the judging standards are currently. And training those people or helping to train those people, and hopefully they'll be receptive to that and not take it as, you know, I've been judging for years and I know what I'm doing. They'll take it as, great, things are changing. You know, I want to keep up with the what is happening now. And for them to take current judging classes, I think is great. And, you know, we took ours years ago in Salt Lake City with Ed Roy, had a great time. That was he was our mentor, and you know, I think we were trained by the best. We only judge one contest, so it's hard for us to say that we're on top of it, but we're always cooking as much as we can.
Like the KCB has seen substantial growth over the years, probably way bigger than Gary and Carolyn Wells ever expected it to be. I'm sure, you know, when they started back in the day and kind of set it up as a nonprofit. I had Candy Weaver on probably a month ago, and she mentioned that she might like looking into seeing what it would take or seeing the possible benefits of turning KCBS from a nonprofit to a for-profit and kind of breaking away from how it currently is. Do you have any thoughts on that whatsoever?
Yeah, it's funny you brought that up. We were in
is it?
Las Vegas, Nevada this last year. I believe it was right before the World Food Championships. Sitting in a little Italian place with Mike Hayes from EnoServe. And if you ever have a chance to talk to Mike, he's a great guy. Him and Don with EnoServe are fantastic guys. And he had some wonderful thoughts about taking KCBS for profit instead of not for profit. I don't know enough about the issue to speak one way or the other on it. I really don't. He brought up a couple good points that I can't recall off the top of my head, but yeah, I think if that is a good move for the organization, I think it'd be great to take it that way. I think it would be something great to explore. I know that's not what was envisioned back 25, 26, 27 years ago, but I also don't think, just like you said, 17,000 members throughout the whole United States and worldwide wasn't envisioned either. So there might be a time to review a little bit of that and look and see where the organization wants to go. And I think that's more what the board should be about, where we want to go, not micromanaging or not the day-to-day stuff.
Do you think that the board overall, especially this past year, I know there was a big push to get certain people up on the board, and certainly through no fault of this show, getting them all successfully elected. So be careful what you wish for, Mike. Do you think that the vision is still in the right place and that they're doing the right things in order to move barbecue forward as a whole?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know they're probably 3-4 years ago, there was a lot of animosity. There was a lot of in politicking. There was a lot of just bad blood between people. And that's not what barbecue is all about. I believe that everybody that was on the board and that is currently on the board loves KCBS and wants the best for KCBS. I think the group that came in has melted the into the organization great. I'm anxious to hopefully get on board and see what I can do too to help keep the positive vibes going. And a lot of that I think falls back on Candy. Candy's done a great job leading the group and keeping a lot of that fighting out. And granted, I'm again an outsider sitting in. I listen to what board meetings that I can, so I can only normally just go by what I can read in the bullsheet or what I can talk to people about and hear when I'm out on the road. But no, I think the group is going in the right direction, and we keep growing. I think we just need to – we can grow more.
Mike, got about a minute left. Any other final thoughts or things you would like to get out to the public or the potential voting public for KCBS Board of Directors that you'd like to have them know?
I like Mike.
Look at this guy.
Mike. That's who we like.
Is that a button?
That's a butt, Greg.
Look at you.
You like that?
This guy wants to get on the board. You got to vote for this guy. I like Mike. Who doesn't like Mike? I'll vote for you twice. I'm not even a member. I hope that helps.
You know, it's I just, like I said, we've been blessed the last 5 years to be on the represent KCBS. We've got friendships and from coast to coast. And so I want to give back. I want to help do what I can to keep the organization going in the right direction and help share the love.
All right, Mike Peters is the co-director and, of course, the host of the Great American Barbecue Tour, now in its fifth year. We'll talk about that in a future episode, Mike, I swear to God. Running for KCBS Board of Directors and humbly asking for your vote. Mike, appreciate the time tonight. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, thank you, Greg. I appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, you got it. There he is. Mike Peters. Here, Piggy Barbecue, and, of course, the host of the Great American Barbecue Tour. And I would like to see Mike. Dude, that dude had a button. I like buttons. You know who else likes buttons?
I'm going to go grab my grill out of the yard and dry the laundry.
Just kidding. She does not like buttons. She hates buttons.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Folks, public service announcement. From your friend, my friend, Stephen DeFranco, barbecue jeweler to the stars. Look at this bad boy. That's an Accutron Bulova watch. High dollar. Oh. But here's the best part of the story, folks. I didn't pay high dollars for this watch. No. This might be the high tier level that Bulova makes, the Accutron line. But you're not paying $1,000 for this watch. No. You're paying way less than that. That's why I say, people ask me all the time, hey, I'm going to call Stephen DeFranco or I'm going to shoot Stephen DeFranco an email. Is there really a discount? Should I really mention you? No. If you don't want to save money, don't mention me. Matter of fact, I'd say, tell him you don't know me on purpose. Say, hey, Steve, I don't know Greg Rempe. I don't want a discount. Please don't help me at all save money and get awesome jewelry to boot. However, if you're the antithesis of that, you're going to want to visit the website, StephenDeFranco.com. And then, once you find what you like, now look, if you live in Cleveland, stop in. Huge showroom, great staff. You can ask to talk and deal with Stephen directly if you want to, or his dad. His dad's a gas. He's a gas. Find what you like on the website otherwise. StephenDeFranco.com, D-I-F-R-A-N-C-O. And then call him. This is the part where you got to take notes.
You call Steven directly after you find what you like, a watch, a ring, jewelry, necklaces, earrings, you name it. 440-943-2700. 440-943-2700. And then you ask for Steve directly. Once he gets on the phone, you say, hey, I listen to the Barbecue Central show. Rampy says, I should call and ask you directly for the hookup, the barbecue brother or sister hookup. Watch the dollar bills fall off, folks. If you're getting watches or things that could be engraved, that's all done for free. Watches get the two-year extended warranty, free batteries for life. He'll set the time for you properly. There's videos on his website to show you how to set the time properly, because you know, sometimes when you get the watches with dates, every day or every month doesn't have 31 days, so you got to make sure you manually adjust that. He'll help you out. That's what he's here for. And, of course, everything ships for free, so you're saving money on top of everything else. StephenDeFranco.com, then call him 440-943-2700. Tell him I sent you. We're coming back to close out the show. But first, it is a $10 gift card from Barbecue Superstore. Stick around. All right, third item for you to potentially win tonight. We'll have one more after this, after John Dawson's segment. A $10 gift card to thebbqsuperstore.com. $10 gift card to thebbqsuperstore.com. Thanks to Rich Parker over there. In the subject line of this email, which you'll be rifling off with your fat fingers because you love to win free stuff, Centralites, brisket gets you laid. Spell it right. Brisket gets you laid. We heard that a little bit earlier. Send it off for your chance to win a $10 gift card to the Barbecue Superstore. Good luck.
Get in the smoke. Call 877-448-0433 to get on the air. Now, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
We are back. This had to have been the quickest reaction. And David Garza wins. Brisket gets you laid. That's right. So, David, you will win a $10 gift card to the Barbecue Superstore. Send me your shipping info and reference Barbecue Superstore. Winning line, brisket gets you laid, never sounded so good. All right, coming out of the bully tonight, helping me close the show strong is a bad boy, writes one of the biggest, baddest barbecue blogs out there on the interwebs. Always great info, always great recipes. Let's race over to the hotline and wait till you see what this son of a bitch is wearing tonight. Fresh from Cleveland. Cleveland! John Dawson from Patio Daddio. John, how are you, buddy?
What is up, buddy? Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Look at this guy with the Cleveland Indians jersey. I don't know whether to be shitting my pants in joy or going blind because it's going to be another season of misery.
Hey, dude, check this out. Not only is this a Cleveland Indians jersey, but this is a Jim Thome circa 1995
wow.
jersey.
Back in the old days, 95. Wow, look at you. You are kind of from Cleveland back in the day, right?
Sure. Hello.
Yeah. The proof is in the jersey.
Hello, they don't give these to chimps.
Yeah, that's right. So a couple of things to get to tonight. And first things first, topic that I guess by some could be considered to be well over the top, well played at the moment. But let's get back to basics here, John. We're talking about bacon. And you've kind of delved into the bacon world, and we're not talking, you know, bacon tofu or chocolate-covered bacon or ass-flavored bacon or anything. Like, we're just talking about straight-up bacon. So give us the lowdown on bacon.
Well, like I mentioned in my post, bacon has been something that's always been on my, hey, you should probably do that one of these days list. But for whatever reason, it seems to be kind of has this mysterious, like, oh, nobody can really do this thing about it that yeah. I really never understood. And then when I really looked into it, and thanks to my buddy Meathead, or our buddy Meathead, over at AmazingRibs.com, it really comes down to two things. You're taking a hunk of pork, whatever cut it might be, depending upon what part of the country or part of the world you're in, and you're going to cure it, and you're going to smoke it, or not, and it's bacon. I mean, so it really is about as brain-dead easy as it can get, but yet it's one of these things that people seem to think is cloaked in some mysterious, you know, ethereal thing where they can't do it. So I just decided to do it, and I did, and it's as easy as Meathead said, and it's as good as he said.
All right, so you've simplified it crazily, but obviously it's not that. I mean, it's that simple, but let's break it down into the steps here. First of all, before we get into the curing and are you smoking it and the temperature and slab, blah, 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 what do you have to go buy? How do you make this bacon? What do you? Well, hold on a second, just for everybody. What are we drinking tonight, John?
We are drinking a fine Spire dark and dry cider from Olympia, Washington.
Wow, Olympia, Washington. Nice. Looks good. Looks refreshing. I'm drinking a Fourth Ward / well, for me, it's Section 8 because of where I live. Thank you.
You know what I'm talking about. Believe me. It should be called the Gat where you live.
I was going to say, you know where I live. You know what I'm talking about. What kind of meat do you need to buy to get this bacon off on the right start?
Well, it depends on what kind of bacon you want to make. What kind of bacon you want to make. I alluded to that earlier. It's dependent upon, you know, if you're Canadian, it's going to be a pork loin. It'll be back bacon, i.e. Canadian bacon in the United States. If you're an American, a USA American, as Greg Rempe would say, you're just going to get a pork belly, be it a side piece, which comes from more of the side of the hog, or more of a belly piece that's coming from the lower end of the hog, and you're going to cure it for that's about 7 days. Really, it's about 7 days per inch of thickness, and most bellies are about an inch thick. And then you're going to smoke it. So if you're in Italy, you're going to make pancetta. You're going to take the same piece of pork. You're going to cure it the same way. You're going to roll it into a cylinder. You're going to tie it, and then you're either going to smoke it or not. And so it just really depends on what kind of bacon you're making. But for what we're talking about, American bacon, it's just go down to wherever you can get a pork belly. I'd recommend skin off or rind off and cure it. I use Morton's Tender Quick. It's about as easy as a recipe as you can imagine. It's 1 tablespoon per pound of meat, and it's 1 week per inch of thickness. And so literally, you take, for me, it was 2 pounds chunk of pork belly, 2 tablespoons of Morton's Tender Quick, put it in a Ziploc bag or spread the Tender Quick all over it. You want more on the meat side than you do on the fat side, about 2/3 to 1/3. Put it in the Ziploc bag. Put it in the fridge at least 38 degrees. That's very important. You don't want it to get above 38 because you're in the danger zone, and you don't want it to get below about 33 because then that inhibits the curing process. So you want it to be right in about the 38 zone, which most refrigerators can handle easily. You cure it for a week. You take it out. You rinse it off. I wouldn't recommend the whole drying in the fridge for 24 hours and multiple rinses and all that. I didn't find that necessary. And you just smoke it to 150 internal, and that's really it. I mean, it's brain dead easy.
All right, so I mean, you're the recipe guy, so I'm not going to sit here and question your methods, and your end product looked very nice as well. But do you think that if you would have done multiple rinses and if you would have let it dry in the refrigerator for 24 hours, there could have been some type of benefit to that?
Well, you know, it's kind of a coulda, woulda, shoulda thing. As a matter of fact, I committed what might be a cardinal sin if Mr. Meathead were on the phone with us, and that is I actually, to stop the cooking process, the chef side of me kicked in and said, well, I don't want this to go any hotter than it is, so I just rinsed it off in cold water. And I could tell from the water that I was actually rinsing off, you know, something that looked like smoke. But yep. I thought, you know, I'm not worried about the smoke on the surface. If it didn't get on the inside, it's not going to do me any good anyway. So I wasn't really worried about that. But I don't know. Rinsing didn't seem it wasn't too salty. Typically, they tell you to rinse if you think it's too salty. And for me, at you know, a tablespoon, a pound, and I even over-cured mine. Mine went for, I think it was almost 13 days or 12 days because I was just too busy. You know, the holidays were coming and I had to go to California and all that. So I just didn't see a need for it. So I tried to make my recipe literally as simple as I could make it. to try to take some of the intimidation factor out of things. So hopefully I succeeded. So you can add a lot of things. You can add pepper. You can add maple syrup. You can add, you can make it a Thai flavor or a Chinese flavor. Put some Chinese five spice in it. And Meathead covers all that. I just wanted to do the bare bones, plain Jane, easy as I can make it bacon. And that's what I did. And it was to die for, man. There's no going back. It'll make you a bacon snob. So warned.
All right. Well, Meathead hates snobbery, but what the hell is going on in the mirror behind you, John? You have, like, girls running around in the background or what?
Yeah, the girls just got back from a youth event, so they're trickling in. And
are they trying not to be seen? Are they trying not to be seen?
Well, they came in and they saw me sitting here with studio lights and a camera and earphones up in my ears, and now they're all running off to corners of the house to not be seen. So
they're running off to corners of the house to tune in to the world-famous Barbecue Central show. Son of a bitch. You know they are. All right, so look, here's the deal. I know. So here's the deal. After you get it done and it's ready to eat, are you slicing it all up like you would get slab bacon in the grocery store? Do you leave it whole? And then more importantly than all of that, like how long is it going to keep? How fast do I need to consume it?
What I did is I just treated it like normal bacon, cut it into slices. I don't have a meat slicer yet. It's, you know, much like the bacon that's on my list of why don't I have one of these yet. So I just sliced it by hand with a 6-inch flexible boning knife, trying to be as careful as I could, and it worked pretty well. And then just fried it up, and I think we made some BLTs out of it. I can't remember all we did with it, but yeah, I just treated it like normal bacon. One thing I'd like to try is I have a pig candy recipe on my site.
Ooh.
And I think cutting it into cubes, like little 1/2-inch cubes, like for an appetizer, put a toothpick in it kind of thing, and make little single bite servings of pig candy would be great. But for me, I just like I wanted to produce it plain and consume it plain. And I tell you what, it was phenomenal. And for as little effort as it was, it's a little on the pricey side. I think for the 2-pound slab that I used, and you can see the price actually from Whole Foods, a.k.a. a whole paycheck that I put on the site, it was $3.99 a pound, and it was actually cheaper than my local butcher.
Wow.
The local butcher wanted like $4.29 or $4.59 or something like that.
Wow.
And on a lark, I called Whole Foods and I said, "You guys got pork belly?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, how much?" $3.99 a pound. I said, "I'll be right." And it's all locally produced. There's no BS in it. Barbra Streisand. There's, you know, it's just plain Jane, unadulterated, minimally processed pork. And it was just beautiful stuff. So if you have a Whole Foods in your area, they have pork belly, most likely. Go down there and get you some and just get your hog on, baby.
All right. Patio Daddio joining us here right now. His name is John Dawson. You find him at patiodaddiobbq.com. The other thing, and you're just kind of getting on it tonight, is this Patio Daddio Chick-fil-A, your take on a thing kind of deal. So, you know, I guess, A, what's the title? What's the inspiration, and how does it differ from going to a highly overrated Chick-fil-A restaurant, which I don't understand the madness of, but we'll get in that, you know, off camera. But what's it all about?
Well, you kind of just alluded to it. Boise, yeah, I think it was November 14th or first couple weeks of November, we got our first Chick-fil-A. And, you know, my wife's from Southern California. And so I'd always heard this, you know, the religious experience that is In-N-Out Burger. And so when I went there and had one, you know how things tend to, your expectations are so elevated that you think that, you know, what you expect in your mind and what you actually taste are like often two different things. And that's what it was with, for me, with In-N-Out. It was like, yeah, it's good, but it's not like slam the car in reverse at 80 miles an hour on the freeway and hit the next exit good. I mean, it's good. And so I thought when Chick-fil-A was coming, I thought, okay, I use that as the backdrop for my experience my experience with In-N-Out as the backdrop for my experience with Chick-fil-A. And I actually didn't go there for like 3 weeks after they opened to let it all kind of wear off and let the crew get used to it. And I went there, and there was a Carl's Jr. in the parking lot, literally adjoining the restaurant. And so I wait in this line, I go in, I get my first Chick-fil-A, and I sit in my truck and I eat it. and I have the same in and out experience, which is, hey, this is good, but it's not like crazy good. So then I'm driving out of the in and out parking lot, and I see a sign right in front of my face that says spicy chicken sandwiches, like a buck or something. And I actually thought to myself, maybe I should have went to Carl's Jr. because it wasn't as good as I had it built up in my mind to be. Right. However, I took it as a challenge to, okay, well, if you had to make one, how would you make it? And so that's where this recipe came from. It's taking my experience, first experience, version experience, if you will.
I will.
Of Chick-fil-A and creating and trying to reverse engineer it and come up with my own. So what you see is my interpretation of a Chick-fil-A sandwich. So there you have it.
All right, so I'm getting a lot of feedback on the instant chat that Chick-fil-A is not overrated, but of course those people are wrong. Where it is not overrated is the banana pudding milkshake, which is easily the best milkshake I've ever had on the face of the earth. Chicken sandwich is bullshit. It's all average at best. How does one go about making your version of the Chick-fil-A sandwich?
I'll just give you the Reader's Digest version. Take two chicken breasts, just the biggest ones you can find, and pound them so that the thick end, you typically have a thick end and a tapered end, and pound it down so the thick end is as equal in thickness as the thin end. Cut the thing in half widthwise to make it into a portion. And then take a cup of buttermilk, a half a cup of hot sauce. I use Frank's Red Hot, and a tablespoon of salt. You want it to be salty. Basically, what you're doing is you're buttermilk brining the thing and put it in a Ziploc bag. Put the four pieces of chicken in there in the Ziploc bag. Dump the buttermilk in, the hot sauce in, the salt in. Slosh it all around. Seal it up. Remove the excess air. Throw it in the fridge for at least 6 hours or overnight. And then when you're about a half hour before you're ready to cook, put two cups of peanut oil in your Dutch oven, big skillet, whatever you got that you would normally fry chicken in. Heat it up to 350. Take the chicken pieces out of the Ziploc bag, shake off the excess buttermilk, dredge it in a mixture of flour and pepper and smoked paprika and powdered sugar, ironically enough. That was the common thread through all the research that I did. And it does help. It creates a nice kind of sweetish. It gives you that umami, sweet and salty kind of thing, which is probably where the addictiveness comes from. That and the fact that it's, hello, deep fried.
Hello.
And then you dredge it in a seasoned flour mixture, and you fry it for 2 to 3 minutes on each side until it's golden brown or 160 internal, and drain it on a rack, and then put it on a bun, a toasted bun with real butter. And some dill pickle chips, and there you go. I mean, and I served it. I did two prototypes of the recipe for the family. And the first one I did a little more, Chick-fil-A-esque. And the second one I said, forget this. I'm going to do it the way I would do it. And the second one, they was more well-received. So there you have it. So it's much like the bacon. It's really easy to do. It creates a little bit of a mess. People usually get scared off by deep frying, but it's well worth the effort.
All right. John Dawson joining us here. PatioDaddyOBBQ.com. 5 seconds left, John. Any predictions on NFL football as far as championship weekend coming up and then who you'll see in the Super Bowl?
I have no idea who's even in the championship or who's even going to possibly be in the Super Bowl. I'm just not a football guy. So.
John Dawson, man.
Okay.
Take it to the bank. All right. You can find him at PatioDaddyOBBQ.com. John, appreciate the Daddy-O filet and, of course, the bacon talk tonight. And we'll look for you again soon, buddy. Appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate you, man. Take care.
You got it. There he is. John Dawson. PatioDaddyOBBQ.com is the place to go to find him. All right, quickly. And then we still have a chance to win these barbecue invitations coming up out of the Reed. If you're like me, you want to raise that barbecue game up 5 or 10 or 28 notches. That's why you got to look at Butcher Barbecue for injections, for sauces, for rubs, you name it. Dave's the man. Not only is he a stellar competitor on the barbecue circuit, but he's producing products for people that can use it in their backyard. He makes me look like a genuine barbecue god each and every weekend. Undoubtedly. So we all know Butcher's is well known for the injection, the pork, the beef, now the prime injection. It's got that combination of all things that are loved about the beef injection, using its award-winning flavor enhancers, its ability to keep your brisket juicy, and then combined it with the competition standard and beef flavor. It's available right now at ButcherBBQ.com. Of course, all of those rubs, you have the Butcher's Barbecue Honey Rub, the Steak and Brisket Rub, you got the Prime Rub. Look, I'm sorry, not the Prime Rub, but the Premium Rub. And if you're going to use the Premium Rub, especially if you inject with Butcher's, because it's formulated to work with that injection, perfect 1-2 punch to impress the judges if you're on the competition circuit. But if you're me, impress the judges, the neighbor, the family, the friends, the neighbors, the creepy neighbor we talked about, top of the first, second hour there. And last but not least, guys, looking for sauce? How about this? Sweet barbecue sauce will kick your face off. Look, when it comes to sauce, I'm as picky as it gets, and Butcher's sweet sauce wins in every category for me. It's not overly sweet. There's a nice slice of tang, just the right amount of back-end heat. For crying out loud, no liquid smoke. Dave took the time and effort to make a quality sauce and didn't take the easy way out. And by easy, I mean bullshit way out, by adding that liquid smoke. Forget it.
Get that great stuff out of here.
No worries on the shipping, okay? Relax. Items totaling up to $55 ship at $8.50. $55 to $200 ship at $9.75. Anything over $200, ships free. I don't know about you, but if I'm paying $200 and I don't have to fork out an additional $25, $30, $40, and it's free, winning every day of the week for me. Head on over to ButcherBBQ.com right now and stock up. Buy a bottle of six of the sauce. You're going to thank me for it later. ButcherBBQ.com also, don't forget, they're doing the trade-in program for the injections that you might hate from competitors. They'll trade you pound for pound. It's a trade-in program. ButcherBBQ.com. One more chance to win coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back. Last item to win tonight, barbecue invitation kit. Compliments of Derek Art, D-E-R-E-K art.com. I forget what the proper name of this. I think it's called a Sizeograph. He also makes this kind of barbecue art right here. This is cool. This is very cool right here. We're probably going to give one of these away at some point. This is not what we're doing tonight. Tonight, it's a barbecue invitation kit. Compliments of DerekArt.com. Can also be found at Mr. Retro, MRRetro.com. This is a downloadable file they sent to you from the artist himself. So thanks to DerekArt.com and Stuart Sandler for hooking this up. In the subject line, Grill Girl. And you got to spell girl like her website. Grill Girl marks out to CFA. Grill Girl marks out to CFA. For your chance to win a barbecue invitation kit, courtesy of DerekArt.com and Stuart Sandler. Good luck.
Hey, what's up? This is JM, host of the Celebrity Grill Podcast on iTunes. And you're listening to the Barbecue Central Radio Network. All barbecue and grilling, all the time.
Get in the smoke. Call 877-448-0433 to get on the air. Now, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, we're back. Let's see. Oh, there he is. Don Hopkins wins. Don Hopkins wins. Oh, wait. Oh, Doug, you had it, but you didn't write two correctly. You have T-I. Oh, come on. Let me make this point, guys, by the way. Let me make this point. If you want to win the free stuff, right? If you want to win the free stuff, don't put anything in the body.
get in the subject line, hammer out what I tell you, and then send it. A lot of you guys are trying to get cute by putting stuff in the body. That's costing you time, fools. It's costing you time.
Get that big stuff out of here.
If you want to win, you got to be quick. Get in the subject line, have the cursor ready, pound it out with your fat little fingers, and hit send. Don't go in the body and put some cute little message in. That's putting you behind. So the winner, Rustable was in first, but he spelled grill wrong. Doug Keels was in second, but he spelled two wrong, T-O. Don Hopkins, grill, girl with three R's, marks out to CFA, winner. All right, here we go. We're getting out. Don, send me an email, shipping info, and then also put barbecue invite. Don Hopkins. I also use a crayon to make sure that I'm doing this for the proper giveaway. All the way back in the first hour, we talked with my first guest, Tia Abels from StrewBranch.com. Then we talked with Robin Lindars from GrillGirl.com. And then the second hour, we talked with Mike Peters, making a run for KCBS Board of Directors. By the way, if you are voting and you haven't voted yet, voting closes January 18th at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, I believe. Go to kcbs.us to double-check that, but that's what I think. And then coming out of the bully, John Dawson, PatioDaddyOBBQ.com, talking about bacon and so forth. All right, there you go. If you cook with raw cast iron, season it each and every time you use it. As it starts to cool down from your cook, scrape it off first, get all the chunks off, hit it with a little Pam, a little Crisco, let it burn back in. Let it reseason each and every time. It gives you generations of rust-free service on that raw cast iron. Also, September 11th, 2001, I will never forget. Next Tuesday, huge show. Hope to see you back. And until then, at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, this is your program host and proud U.S. American, Greg Rempe. Good night now.